copyright license. I'll admit that. Well, this week, our big-time wrestler lesson is about Peter. After the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, Peter finds himself in a completely new role. He is no longer just an uneducated fisherman that dropped his nets and followed Jesus just a few years ago. Peter was chosen by Jesus to be the new leader of Christ's followers. Following the ascension, the Holy Spirit descends on the apostles, and Peter goes out to preach, and immediately thousands are converted. Peter is empowered by the Holy Spirit to such an extent that people are healed just by his shadow touching them. That is powerful, to walk by, and just when your shadow passes over somebody, they were healed. Peter's reached the big time now. Everyone was looking to Peter. And why not? He spent 3 years as one of Jesus' closest disciples. Peter was a powerful preacher now that led thousands to be converted. And now Peter has the power to perform miracles, even bringing back a little girl from the dead. In the absence of Jesus, Peter is now the title holder. Peter is now the champion. And it is easy to see why Peter might think that he has all the answers. While many Jews were being converted to following the teachings of Jews, so were the Gentiles. A Gentile was any person that was not born a Jew. And because Gentiles were not Jewish, a big controversy was brewing. Most Jews, like Peter, accepted the fact that Gentiles could become Christians. But most Jews felt that for Gentiles to become Christians, they first had to convert to Judaism. And this would require a major change for most Gentiles. You see, the hardline Jews felt that the Gentiles should give up their unclean diets, like eating pork, and that they should follow other Jewish laws like the Sabbath in order to be Christians. Peter, the leader of the early church, promoted this theory, even though Jesus never really taught this. So let's go a little further back in Acts chapter 10, starting verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. On one day, about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius!" Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. Cornelius was a Roman officer. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. Now, this is a bit strange at this point early in Christianity. The message of Christ was largely preached to the Jews. Some people think that maybe Cornelius had been present at the cross, but we don't know for sure. But the Romans, you see, they were occupiers. They were not Jews. The Romans had their own gods, and they were expected to hold no one higher than Caesar. Because you see, the emperor was held to a god-like status. He was worshipped as a god. And failure to being loyal to the emperor would be considered treason. So when you converted to Judaism or Christianity, you had one God and one God only. Therefore, the emperor was no longer your God. Yet despite the fact that he could be charged with treason, this army officer was not only God-fearing, he put his faith into action. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. And guess what happened? God spoke to him. God speaks to people. He speaks to you. He speaks to me. But you see, most of us don't want to listen for him. But Cornelius hears God and responds. And the angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. God says, go and do. And despite all the risk, Cornelius, without question, goes and does. Cornelius doesn't say, hey, isn't that man, that Jewish leader, that Peter, isn't he wanted for crimes? Don't all the Jewish leaders want him arrested? Could I not get in trouble for inviting him here? He doesn't say, well, you know, Peter, he's the leader of the church. He's this great preacher. He's powerful. He would never want to come here to see a Roman soldier like me. Cornelius doesn't question. He doesn't doubt. Cornelius is immediately obedient, which is way more than we can say for Peter. Verse 9, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened up and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." Here's Peter. And what's he say? "Surely not, Lord." Peter told God, no. Now, before we get too critical of Peter, let's understand something. The Jewish law was very strict and involved every aspect of their lives, including their diet. The Jewish diet was so strict, they weren't even allowed to eat at the same table as a Gentile. And Jews were especially restricted on what animals they could or could not eat. Many reptiles, birds, and other animals like pigs were considered unclean. And I don't know about you, but I like ham and bacon, pork chops, ribs, shoulders, roasts. I mean, God put all those wonderful things in just one animal. But to the Jews, eating a pig was something horrific. I mean, what if you got a vision from God and he said, "Eat cat. Eat dog." I think most of us would say, "Surely not. You've got to be kidding, right?" But you see, that was just as big of a deal. Everything he was raised to believe as a Jewish kid, you don't eat pork, you don't eat these animals, you don't eat these things. And God said, do it. Peter was being told by God to do something way out of his comfort zone, something that violated his core beliefs, something that he was taught from his youth. And they were laws straight from the scrolls of God's word. This wasn't just made up stuff. It says right here in Leviticus, God. But God makes his answer very clear, not once, but three times. Verse 15, the voice spoke to him a second time, "Don't call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. How many times does it take God to tell you something before you do it? I know there are times that I listen to God as well as my kids listen to me when the TV is on. Carla would say the same thing about me. Huh? Did you say something? If it took God 3 times to get Peter to do something, I guess there's hope for me after about 30 times. Because there are times when we do not listen because we're too distracted with life or too busy to pray appropriately. Do you see where God spoke to both men? Cornelius was praying when God spoke. Peter went up to pray when God spoke. We get so busy that we don't even pray every day. And when we do, like I've mentioned before, we dump that quick list on him, don't we? And then we run back to our busy lives without pausing to hear back from him. Hey, God, I need prayers for my mom, my kids, and oh yeah, you know that one person that mentioned that thing at church? I can't remember the name, but you know their name. I don't have time to look it up. I know it's in the bulletin, but that's okay. And help me with that stupid job and the boss I hate, and thank God, see you later. And even for people who do make it a point to pray regularly and listen for God, we don't always like to do what God is asking us to do. Because God has led us in ways, maybe he's asked us to talk to a coworker about Jesus. And we've said, surely not. You know, they're one of those outspoken political people. We don't want to start an argument about evangelical Christians and all this stuff. God might say, why don't you stop the car and invite that homeless guy to go have dinner at the restaurant with you? How many of us said, surely not. That could be dangerous. That guy stinks. Chances are he just wants money for drugs or alcohol, so I'm not doing it. Maybe God has said, why don't you offer to help in Sunday school, sing a solo, lead worship, join the tech team? Surely not. You want me to get up in front of people? I don't like getting up in front of people. Besides, once I volunteer, you know how it goes in the church, God, you never get off the hook. You're on it forever. And if I have to come here every week, how do I sneak a sleep in on Sundays? But you see, blessings come when we surrender and follow Christ. If we want to see blessings in this church, blessings in our life, they only come when we surrender and follow Christ. Peter does go to the house of Cornelius, and Peter begins to share his testimony. Verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. See, Peter's change of heart, Peter's willingness to be obedient, leads more people to receiving Christ, to receiving the Holy Spirit. You see, you never know what your obedience will change. Chances are your obedience will change lives, primarily your life. God did not call us and say everything was going to be smooth sailing. God did not promise an easy life. But he made us promises of a different nature. Promises of forgiveness, of healing, of comfort, of peace. He promised to give us a state of blessing like no other. But see, it comes down to this. We have to simply trust and obey. It's easy to say we have faith, doesn't it? It's easy to say, well, I believe that's the Word of God. And we believe it right up to the time where God says, you are to go here. And then suddenly we lose faith, don't we? Well, I can't do that. Surely not me, God. Oh, surely you don't want me to go there. Why do we lose faith? When God calls, God provides. God has a calling for each of us. We won't hear that calling if we don't spend time talking to Him. Got to slow down. We got to stop. We got to listen. We can hear God in our prayers. We can hear God in His Scripture. We can hear God through worship. We can hear God through music. We have to hear. But more importantly, we have to obey. Where do you stand today? Are you willing to listen? And are you willing to trust? And are you willing to obey? Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we fight you and wrestle with you all the time. Lord, we want to keep it easy for our own selfishness. We want our life and our agenda to be our own. But you've called us to surrender to you. You called us to have faith in you. And Lord, you have promised time and time again that when we live out our faithful obedience to you, that you will bless us. Lord, may we learn to become your obedient children. May we learn to live in your blessing. May we serve in such a way that all people may come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, through our witness. May your Holy Spirit abound among us. May we touch and feel your presence. All of this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Do you ever really consider the words we're singing? I mean, we got a lot of nice tunes and a lot of things that sound melodic and beautiful. But do you ever really look at these words? I mean, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we walk with the Lord, do you walk with God? Is there something missing in your life? Are you struggling? Are you having strife? Are things bothering you? Are you angry? Are you upset? Try walking with the Lord in the light of His Word. And what a glory He sheds on our way. Think to the promises that He has given us. Think to the great things that God is going to give us. I mean, in Revelations we read today, all the bad things of this earth are going to go away. Hunger and fear. No more tears. No more sorrow. That should bring us joy. God's got this. And while we do His good will, He abides with us still. If you're out there living it for God, you're not alone. And whatever He calls you to do, He's going to be with you. He's going to empower you. He's going to gift you. He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you. He will give you people to help you along the way. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You want real happiness? Follow God. Want real happiness? Answer His call. No matter how little or how insignificant you think it might be, your presence, your acceptance, your obedience will make a difference in people's lives. I don't know about you, but Martha's obedience blesses me every week. Rick's obedience blesses me every week. Bonnie, your obedience blesses us every week. We've already heard the guys and families that cut the grass. We're blessed, aren't we? And together we share a joy like no other people. Let us leave here trusting and willing obedience to God. And in that we will find His joy. Go now in full trust and obedience in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.